Good morning. Good morning. It's so good to be with you. And I just want to say a huge thank you to all of those that have been looking after me over the last few days. Hang on a minute. I'm starting to wander. I've been told I need to stay here for the sake of the camera. So you just have to kind of wave at me if I wander too far. Okay. Stay here. Right. Okay. Yes, Mark. so many of you have looked after me so well. I think I've eaten enough food to last me a month. Though, so I shall be charging the bill to like you, Mark, and you, Rob, and you, Pastor, and to Jackie. I shall be charging you the bill when my scales break when I go back home. Okay, so my tummy has certainly grown over these last few days. The hospitality here has been just so wonderful. So I really, really thank you for how you've looked after me over these last few days. And it's been truly a delight to come and visit your wonderful nursery, which is just downstairs. Here and to see all those that have been developing that over the last few years. So it's delightful to be with you. As has been said, I'm Steve Bigu. I am the head of education for Christian Concern. There's a few pieces of literature we have, and they're out there in the coffee shop if you'd like to discover more about our work. There's a free magazine. There's probably one enough for each family that's represented here. There's also a little booklet for parents about parenting. Anybody know that they need some help with parenting? Okay, there's two of us. Okay, maybe you get this one, Raph. It's got some good tips. I think the author's reasonably good about writing about these things. So please do take some of those as well from the back there. I don't want to take them home in my suitcase later on today. Good. So yes, it's been said I'm also the CEO of a Christian Schools Trust. I was also a pastor of a church. I was also a school principal. But the most important thing that I am is this. I'm a husband, and I'm a dad to my three precious daughters. There's Molly, Rachel, and Ruth from left to right. They're getting older now. And I come to you, and I'm speaking to you today, particularly as a dad who really cares about his own daughters, has really been praying for his own daughters, still praying for them, communicating with them lots, love them dearly. And it's wonderful to know that all of us here have got a heavenly dad. Amen? Heavenly Father who loves absolutely every one of us. If you don't know him as your heavenly dad, as your heavenly father, today you can get to know him as I've got to know him and appreciate him. Don't miss out on the opportunity to get to know your heavenly father through all that Jesus Christ has done for you. And the presence of the Holy Spirit will come and something remarkable could happen with you, for you, to you. And you could decide to follow Jesus Christ for the rest of your life. It's the best way to live. So look out for that opportunity through the rest of this morning. Life-changing. I just want to pray again before I dive into some of my content, because I really want to be open to whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do with us this morning. Are you up for that?
Yes.
Sure?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Praise God. Father, thank you so much that you welcome us into your house. Thank you for how I've been welcomed and have felt hospitality here. Thank you, Lord, that you are a hospitable God. You are a generous Father who welcomes us into the home. Lord, thank you that we can find family in your home. I pray for all of us today that we will experience and know family and know you, Heavenly Father, with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So while I was praying, the Lord sometimes shows me things before I go to a church meeting about people that are going to come to the meeting. And so they're called words of knowledge. You find them in the scriptures. It's a gift that the Holy Spirit sometimes gives. And the Lord told me about a lady who would be wearing kind of a white blouse and top. And you're outside behind the windows there. Hello, the lady with the... I don't know, can you hear me all right? Is that okay? I saw you before the meeting when I wasn't here, and then I met you as soon as I came into the meeting, and the Lord told me that the thing I'd prayed was for you. And it's a very simple thing. It's this. I felt the Lord say, tell her she is part of my crew. And I saw a boat with people on the boat, and I felt the Lord say, tell her she is a part of the crew. So I'm fascinated to see you're sitting outside where everybody else is today. But I felt the Lord wanted to say, you are so loved, you're so included, and he wants you to feel and to know that you are a part of his crew in the boat that he is sailing, where he is the captain. And that maybe you need to take that in prayer to the Lord to say thank you to him, but also feel secure and confident that you are a part of his crew. And talk to me afterwards if you want to pray about that. Very happy to pray with you about that. The other one was for a lady, and I saw what she was wearing in advance of coming, and I was looking around and I didn't see anybody wearing it until right at the last minute. The lady who came and stood right, the lady's right at the back with with the sunglasses on her head. I saw that the top with the flowers and the dark background, and the Lord had said to say this to you as I was praying this morning. There's this verse in Psalm 30 that says, "You've turned my mourning into dancing. You've turned my mourning into dancing. You've removed the sackcloth and you've clothed me with joy." This is what the Lord is doing for you and with you. He's turning your mourning into dancing. "I can't stay silent," the psalm says. "I must sing, for your joy has come." And my precious sister, I know the Lord is speaking to your heart, and your heavenly Father is causing joy to grow inside of you, singing to flow out from you, despite the circumstances of mourning that's there. So may you know that deeply, my sister. I'd love to pray together with you, with others maybe here. Bless you. Did anybody do the triathlon that was going on? Did anybody actually do it? Did you? Okay, so this is what is for you. I found the Lord say there would be one person here who'd been at the triathlon, because I heard about it happening. And I'm going to speak part of the word of God over your life. There's this passage in Hebrews, and it talks about running. It says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses," it talks about people who know the Lord, "since we're surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us, the sin that so easily entangles us. Throw it off, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." May you run with perseverance the race he's marked out for you. Then it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." And because of the joy set before him, you know there's a joy of finishing the race, isn't there? There's a joy when you get to the end of it. It's I've made it. "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned the shame, and then sat down." It was finished. "Sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." It says, "Consider him so that you don't grow weary and lose heart." And I sense that maybe you need to read and learn that passage, as I've learned it as well, Hebrews 12, about running the race for him and letting all the sin and the stuff that hinders — it's not just sin, other stuff can hinder and entangle us — but he's calling you especially to really run the race with perseverance, seeking that joy, but also enduring the hard parts, the bits where you hit the wall. Yeah, so I'm very happy to pray with — what's your name? Philip. I'd love to pray with you as well, Philip, after the service. Praise God. Those things that I were bringing was because I was talking to God, my Heavenly Father, and his Holy Spirit is present with us as we pray, and he gets into our thinking and directs how we start to pray and gives us ideas and thoughts. And as we trust him with those thoughts, we can start to hear his voice and respond and act accordingly. And if you want to know a bit more about that, maybe go along to the foundations course that they're running here and find out some of the foundations of the faith. You can develop a bit more in that whole kind of area. If you have a Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you don't panic, because the words are going to come up here anyway. If you want to find it on your phones or whatever you need to do to find Deuteronomy chapter 6. The passage I'm speaking from has this word "impress" in it. And so the title I've given to what I'm just going to say next from the Word of God is "Prepare to Impress." Say, "Prepare to Impress."
Prepare to impress.
And again?
Prepare to impress.
forgive me, I'm a primary school teacher, so I like a bit of, you know, audience participation, so forgive me if I do that a little bit. Prepare to impress. You know, first impressions, they matter, don't they? First impressions. You know, my impression of the people here was like, wow, these guys are so hospitable. When I leave this place, I shall just be remembering the hospitality so much. Those first impressions, they last. When something makes an impression, it's like it makes a mark on you. An impression. It makes a mark. Those first impressions last. And in Deuteronomy, it talks about making an impression, particularly on the young, when they are impressionable, when they can be impressed. And this passage is written at a really key time in the people of God. This guy here, who's this guy? This is Moses. This guy here, led by God, the people were rescued from Egypt. And they were, at this point in the story, they're about to go into the promised land. They've been wandering, God's been providing for them, but they're about to go into the promised land to possess Canaan, the promised land. And God gives to Moses the manifesto. Do you know what a manifesto is? Does that translate everywhere? The manifesto is how the country should run. This is the policies, this is the practices, this is the way we're going to run our country. So before we have an election, the parties, they come up with a manifesto. This is how we're going to run the country. Well, Deuteronomy is the whole book that says how God says to his people, this is how you run your country. And you can read the whole of that in Deuteronomy. It's got the Ten Commandments in there. There's lots of it that's quoted in the New Testament. And then there's this particular key part of it that I'm going to be bringing out, which is right at the heart of it in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read the word of God to you. And I pray that you will hear the Lord speak as I read his word. So just attune yourself to what the Lord might speak to you as we read from Deuteronomy 6, verse 1 down to verse 25. This is the word of God. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you and you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, a land with large and flourishing cities you didn't build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you didn't provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God. Serve him only. Take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods and the gods of the peoples around you. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God. His anger will burn against you. He'll destroy you from the face of the land. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he's given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so it may go well with you and you may go in and take over the good land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors, thrusting out all your enemies as the Lord said. And in the future, when your child asks you, what's the meaning of all these stipulations, decrees, rules, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you, then tell them, we were slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders great and terrible on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. He brought us out from there to bring us in and give us a land he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we're careful to obey all this, my child, my son, my daughter, if we're careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God as he's commanded us, that will be our righteousness. This is God's word. I hope you see how in the manifesto for how God's people were to run their country, the teaching of children was right at the heart of it. Impress upon your children, pass this on to your children, not just to your children, so if you pass it on to your children, then they will pass it on to their children. Santa Ponsa Community Church, all visitors that are here, prepare to impress. You know, governments, they often talk about education. I remember Tony Blair in the UK, he was our Prime Minister for a while. He made a big point of saying, I've got three words for what we need to do as a government. It's education, education, education. Governments are also thinking about generations, preparing children for what they want them to do and to be. Education is a key part of what all societies have to think about. And you are always educating children for some purposes. It's clear here in these scriptures that it's not just about one generation, it's about grandchildren and their grandchildren and the legacy that will come. And who does God speak to? Does he speak only to the parents? No. He speaks to the community of the people of God. He says, hear, O Israel, impress this on your children. When do you impress? You impress your children because they are young and they have soft clay. This word impress, the Hebrew word, is like taking a pointy implement. Now, we have pens today, don't we? We have pens and we write things down. This word impress is to like take a pointy implement and to craft, to make a mark on soft clay. They didn't have paper and pens in those days. They used to write on clay. And when you write on the soft clay, what then happens? Sorry, I've gone into primary school teacher mode again. But what happens if you write on the soft clay? Then what happens? it will set. And what's been written while it's been soft will stay, won't it? The clay is soft only for a certain period of time. Who knows that what they learnt when they were a child or a young person has kind of stuck with them, be it for good or for bad. Habits that you learnt, messages that you learnt, the way in which your parents spoke to you, taught you, the way in which your teacher spoke to you, taught you. These things, they get embedded in us, don't they? An impression is made. The Lord God says, be careful not to forget to impress upon your children. Even specific instructions. When your child asks you, this is what you say. These are the commands. These are the things that must be communicated to your children. So often us who are parents in this room, we're rushed and we're hurried, we are busy. Moses was really clear to say to them, you're going to go into this great land flowing with milk and honey. You're going to build your houses. You're going to take over possession of all sorts of riches that you did not have. I'm going to bless you. But be careful when you are blessed. That's the prime time when you will start to forget. You'll start to think, oh, we've got good stuff now. We're okay. We don't have to trust in God so much. No, it's all happening. It's all in order. We don't have to think about the next generation so much. We've got it in hand. It's going to be okay. No, be careful. Be careful to impress upon your children. There's a spirit of the age of busyness, which I get caught up in. You know, we're doing this thing, and we're doing that thing, and we're doing the other thing. Do we have the time to do what this wonderful mother is doing here? As she's walking along the road, speaking to her daughter, highlighting things, impressing on the soft clay of her heart, commentating on what is happening, talking about maybe God's commands, the ways to live as a part of everyday life, not just in church at Sunday school. This is the command to God's people. This is God's command to parents. And we need to be careful not to be so busy and so rushed that we forget to impress upon the children of our families and our community. Because what happened to the people of God? They went into the promised land. Who knows the stories of like Jericho falling down and incredible miracles were happening. They battled. They took over the land. They settled in the land. And guess what happened? You find it in the next book after Joshua, the book of Judges. And this is what is said about the next generation. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done. Within one generation. And the land was filled with chaos, sexual immorality, violence. Chaos in one generation of God's people. Because the next generation who grew up had not been taught the ways of the Lord and his commands. The culture around them shaped their children. The culture around them made an impression on their children more than the people of God made the impression on their children. John Piper says this. He's a famous Christian writer, author, theologian. Education is not evangelization. In other words, we shouldn't justify where we send our kids because we think they should be evangelists when they're not. God does not intend for Christian children to be taught by unbelievers and to be surrounded most of the day by intense worldly peer pressure. That's not what childhood is for. It's for being shaped and molded by wise, loving, Christian adults. Prepare to impress. In the UK, we have people who analyse the statistics of those who are Christians and what is going on in terms of faith in the UK. This is a very famous statistician who is always on the television talking about the statistics around election time. And it's clear that there is a generational decline in the UK of those who love the Lord, who call themselves Christians, but also who live as Christians. And it's quite clear the mechanism for that, what is happening is that Christians are not successfully passing on their Christian faith to their children. If you are a family who just has no faith, and you just send them to the local schools, and they're soaked in the media culture and online and all the rest of it, you're really likely to pass on your lack of faith to your children. But if you are a Christian parent in that kind of environment, you are less and less likely. In fact, the best form of statistics says that there's a 50-50 chance of you being able to pass on your Christian faith to your children. So the decline looks like this. Those of you who like graphs, here's a graph for you. Some people are more they like the pictures and the graphs. You can see that negative line heading downwards. That's the line that says those that would call themselves Christians, who would own the name of Christian. And the line heading upwards is the one that says they have no religion, and the yellowy orangey one. I'm colorblind. Is that yellow or orange? I'm not even sure. It's orange. Okay, thanks. That bottom one is other religions. And so we can see from 2018, when the statistics there, within one more generation in the UK, if you look at that, there could be nobody in the UK who says they are a Christian. I don't think that's going to happen, because the Lord is stirring up his people again. And there's always a remnant, the Bible says, of those that love the Lord, follow after him, as you see as you read the scriptures, even in times of decline. Martin Luther said this: I am much afraid the school will prove to be the greatest gate of hell, unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures, engraving them, this is using those phrases, engraving them in the hearts of our youth. I advise no one to place his child where the scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution which men are not increasingly occupied with the word of God must become corrupt. It's challenging, isn't it? Prepare to impress. This is what's being impressed on the children and young people in the UK. Colourful picture. For those of you that are just starting to fall asleep because the preacher's been going on too long. She has fallen asleep. Look at that. I knew I'd send that little child to sleep. But then this is the kind of colourful pictures that are being shown to our children in the UK. Many, many of the schools show this kind of thing. You see, the Bible teaches us a story of who we are. The Bible teaches us that we're created. We're not a random accident. We're created by God. We are messed up because of the fall, but we can be rescued and redeemed because of all that Jesus Christ has done for us, and we can come back into relationship with our Father God. This tells us who we are, that he created us male and female. He created us as sexual beings to be married, male and female together, to have children. He's created us with a particular way to live. This is what the Bible teaches. But societies, particularly Western societies, they say, no, there's no God. The way you are created is actually you create yourself. You know, you're the only person who knows who you are. Your parents and maybe even the doctors don't really know who you are. Only you know who you are. 7-year-old boy who thinks he's a girl. Oh, if you think you're a girl, then you know who you are. And this kind of idea, colourful pictures, say you can be anywhere on any of these spectrums of being a woman or a man or somewhere in between. You may just be born to have a commitment style that is poly. In other words, you could want to have sex with lots and lots of different people, and that's just how you're made. That just find out from inside yourself how you're made to be. And then you will flourish as a person. This is the message. Then this is truly what is believed. And Some of us, even in the church and maybe in this room, you've been sold a lie about who you are. God knows who you are. God knows, as your loving Father, how you are to live. I used to wrestle with same-sex attraction when I was a young man. I was a 14-year-old boy praying in his bedroom on his knees. I probably dropped out of picture there. Sorry for that. Praying in his bedroom on his knees. Why do I feel this sexual attraction towards other men? Why is that? Lord, help. And I had to wrestle with that. But I found joy and peace and life in following Jesus Christ and denying myself and following in his ways. And I'm married now with 3 daughters, as you've seen from the pictures. The Lord has helped me. All the temptations haven't all disappeared or gone away. Didn't just tell a demon to leave and it had all gone. No. But I'm being sanctified. I'm being made more and more holy by Jesus Christ as he fills me with his Holy Spirit. Because this is who I am. I'm a child of God's. This is who I am. This is who God has made me to be. This is what we must teach our children. So when they say to us, why do we believe that a man should marry only a woman? Why is that a thing? That we can tell them the whole story of creation, but the fallenness and then the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ and the wonderful future in this life and in the next, in another kind of promised land, in the new heavens and the new earth. This is the story of who we are and how we are to live. In the UK, identities are being owned, for example, the identity of being bisexual. This is who I am. I'm a bisexual person. 4-fold increase in just 6 years in the 16 to 24-year-olds. What is being owned by, in terms of who children are and who young people are, is being shaped by these groups that are going into schools and saying, children, this is who you are. You might have your own gender identity. You may even identify as an animal. And that's okay, because only you know who you are. These are the people, these are the groups that are shaping our education system. And in Madrid, there was a huge pride parade recently, sponsored by all these kinds of companies. Microsoft, Free Now, Coca-Cola, all behind this philosophy, encouraging this to our children and in our schools. The culture around making an impression on the soft clay of our children and young people. Remember how the people of God, they forgot to pass on God's ways to their children, and the culture around shaped them, and there was sexual immorality and violence, and they were lost. The mental health was all over the place then. Wow, is mental health in our young people all over the place now? Jesus comes to his church, as you wind on the story of the Bible a bit further. Moses came and gave his manifesto of what to do in the promised land. Jesus says, I've brought the kingdom of God. He speaks in a very similar way as Moses spoke. And he says, I'm giving you something to do. This is called the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. He says, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age in this task. Jesus emphasizing discipleship making as a key for the kingdom to advance generation after generation. And of course, those disciples, how old were they? Those 12 disciples, how old were they? See, the Renaissance art pictures with old white men with gray beards standing around, total rubbish. How old were his 12 disciples? They were teenagers. Joyfully being taught by their teacher. This is what he modeled in terms of discipleship. What a great class that would have been to be a part of, eh? You know, you should read the Gospels thinking about thinking about this. You know, you started to follow a rabbi in your teens, except for Peter, they were all unmarried, and you got married before you were 18 back at that time. Jesus was calling them, he was like 30 years old, and he's calling them my little ones, my children. Only males over 20 paid the temple tax. You know, there's a story there in the scriptures, those of you who know it, where the 4 drachma tax needs to be paid. And he only does it for him and Peter, because he's the only one of that age that needs to do it. If you remember the stories of James and John and their mother saying, can my boys be at your top table, please? Pushy Jewish mother. I mean, read the Gospels. You see they're impulsive, they're obedient at times, they're energetic, they are mouthy, they're ambitious, but they are teachable. They're living and traveling outside. These are teenagers that the Lord Jesus is teaching. So when he says, now you go and disciple, what did those disciples think they were supposed to do? Do you think they thought, oh, well, it doesn't involve the teenagers and young people. It doesn't involve those. No, of course. They've had it modeled to them that a major part is to pass on the faith at a point at which the impressionable clay can be shaped. Prepare to impress. When you've got the home, the church, and the school seeking to do this, you have the village raising the child. There's an African proverb that says, it takes a village to raise a child. There's a particular responsibility on parents, but it is more than just the parents. Parents, we need help. The booklet I've got there speaks about some helps and hindrances as parents to help us in this task. But it is a Hear, O Israel task. There's a community response to this call to pass things on to our children. And I'm CEO of the Christian Schools Trust, where we've sought to do this, where parents and the school and the church, day by day, speaking about the Lord, speaking about the scriptures, praying in a maths lesson, talking about the creativity of God in an art lesson, putting these things on the door frames. What's on the walls is the scriptures and joyful worship and music. Didn't you love that music? Imagine all the music and worship in a school over the whole day is God-honoring worship. Can you imagine a place like that? Well, where we have these places, those children, when they leave those schools, nearly 90% of them say, do you know what? I'm a Christian. And I believe that Jesus is my personal savior. And a large number of these children go into these schools and they're not Christians. They're not from Christian families. And when you are taught that you're created, you're messed up, but Jesus can rescue you. Follow him. And there's a hope for the future. Do you know what? Your mental health is totally different from the mental health of others in society. Surveys have been done on the past pupils. And the statement there that says life is worth living. Imagine doing a survey and you're asked the question, is life worth living? You are in this is a kind of pre-suicidal kind of question. If you say, no, life is not worth living, then that's a sign to say that you're heading in that direction. Well, 18% of the 18 to 25-year-olds in the UK are answering the question, life is worth living, with no. I disagree, life is not worth living. Whereas from the Christian Schools Trust schools, the past pupils, because they've been taught that God loves them, they're created, they don't have to create themselves, they can be rescued and saved, and there's a wonderful life to live following Jesus Christ. Totally different scale. There's only 1% of them would say they disagree with that. So 99% are saying, of course life is worth living. Of course life is worth living, because they've been taught about their loving Heavenly Father. This is the full story that you can be explaining in any subject area of creation, fall, God's plan for redemption, the whole story of the scriptures that then leads to the restoration and hope, even in the new heavens and the new earth. Let's finish with a couple of other quotes. This is a quote from Bishop Fulton Sheen. He says this, there is no such thing as neutral education. That is education without morality and religion. By the mere fact that religious and moral training is neglected, if you don't put any of that in, and non-religious, non-morality, and by consequences, anti-religious and anti-moral ideology will be developed in children. It's nothing neutral. Schools that focus on getting people job ready or becoming great citizens, that's the state's worldview being impressed on children. And if that is the size of your vision, it's miserable. You've been created for more than that. You've been created to know your Heavenly Father. I shall jump this. I have the joy of seeing God's people all across the country in the UK starting up new independent Christian schools. And over the last few years, many people have got a vision and they've taken steps forward to start new independent schools that are free from state funding. They're having to make huge sacrifices, paying a significant cost, looking weird and looking strange from others. And as the years have gone by, this has kind of increased. You can see 2022, 2023, 2024 now. There are some places that have just got a little vision. That's the orange ones. And they just started to gather some people together. The blue ones, they've got a strategy now. They want to open in like 1 to 3 years. Because the church in the UK has fallen asleep, really, in this whole area. And now it's waking up again because they're seeing what is happening to their children. I'm excited here to be amongst a group of people that also see the urgency and the importance of making sacrificial choices to follow what the Lord has called us to do, to disciple, to follow what the Lord has called to do to impress upon our children. It is a hear, O Israel. Every one of us here, if you haven't got children, if you're a single person, you're part of this hear, O Israel community that is involved in this key process. It's for everyone to play their part and to be involved in this. I'm conscious I've come to the end of my time, but I would encourage you to respond to the Lord in this. Would you mind putting that slide up that had the foundation slide from the church here with that child standing on the rock? I thought that was very, very powerful, actually, as I looked at that. See if you can find that slide with the child that's standing on a rock. I think some of us here, we know there's things written on our hearts that aren't great. And I encourage you, get involved with a foundations course here. If you're just here on holiday and you're going back somewhere else, find an alpha course. Find some kind of foundations course where you can learn, because if you take the position of a child again, the Lord says, be like little children. Those who are like little children will enter the kingdom of heaven. Humble, what is a child? Humble, teachable, potentially. If you can take that position, you can have good things written into your hearts. The Lord can bring salvation and sanctification into your life. Come and join the foundations course here. Maybe this is the kind of response you need to make. Some of you, do you know what? I'm not sure I've been preparing to impress well enough. And I want to be involved in preparing to impress well on the children of our community, or even my own children. And if you want someone to stand with you and pray as you respond to God and say, help me, Lord, I need your help. I need God's help with this, even with my children as they're growing older. I need his help and wisdom. Believe you me, I do. And if you're like me, then maybe get someone to stand with you and pray. I'm so impressed with this church. I'm so impressed by all that you're doing. And I've been so blessed by being with you. And so I just want to express my thanks to you, Pastor, for looking after me so well while I've been here. And Zuli, it is an incredible school that Zuli has been developing with the team here. And I look forward to what God is going to do with you in growing the vision into maybe a primary school, maybe a secondary school. Who knows what the Lord will do as he speaks to you and guides you in these years ahead, that you might really beautifully impress on children's hearts all of the Lord's ways. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Bless you.